Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
Please tell me more. He says, at Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon, after you have a vasectomy, on the way out, you go to like the window, you know, the checkout window. He says you get three things. You get insurance paperwork, naturally. You get a page of post-operative care instructions, like frozen bag of peas or whatever. And then you get a small black box. And inside that small black box, at Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon, is an engraved silver pocket knife that says Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hello, 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 all you wonderful diehards. Welcome to Sell or Die, the premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet. Pardon me for popping my peas, but I couldn't help it. I'm proud of our podcast. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and I wrote the Sales Manifesto, and
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Welcome to Sell or Die.
We have not just we don't have a great guest. I don't just like Jay Baer as a guest on this show. I like Jay Baer as a person.
Man crush.
Well, he's funny. He's a Hoosier. I mean, he lives in Bloomington, Indiana, for gosh sakes, the home of Bobby Knight University. And he's just an intelligent guy who's making a bloody fortune based on his thoughts and his processes.
This was one of my all-time favorite episodes. Jay is so smart and able to transfer his message, and he's going to give you so many amazing nuggets of information. He's going to be talking about word-of-mouth marketing and how you can use what he calls talk triggers.
That's the name of his book.
Yep.
He's going to talk about talk triggers.
To get people interested in you and your business. Now, I want to talk about what he calls why chatter matters. Okay. He says that his company, Convince and Convert, has done this research.
We have the sheets.
He says, okay, so word of mouth is impactful. 50% of Americans would choose word of mouth if they had to pick one source of information. 46% get their information from family members, and 45% get their information from friends, IRL, meaning in real life.
That's pretty interesting. Most of us now get information from 10-year-olds.
Right. On social media. But actually, interestingly, he says that Americans value word of mouth recommendations from friends and family 41% more than social media recommendations. Whoa. Which I thought was really interesting. And 83% of Americans have made a word of mouth recommendation. So that startles me because, like, wouldn't you have thought that 100% of Americans have made it? Like, hasn't everybody made some sort of word of mouth recommendation at some point in their life?
Yeah.
Or is that saying that, like, 17% of people are just pissed off all the time and don't recommend anything?
I'm going to give you an example. You look in the paper or you look online and you see this new movie that's coming out and they're calling it impactful, amazing, astonishing, unbelievable. Go see this movie. And you walk out on your porch and you're about to go to the movie and you look at your neighbor and say, hey, I'm going to that astonishing movie. And your neighbor says, I saw it yesterday. It sucked. Are you going to go to that movie? Probably not. America is not sold by advertising. America is sold by a much more powerful form of advertising, word of mouth advertising.
Hell yeah.
And that is why Jay Baer is going to make a bloody fortune talking about talk triggers, because he is a world-class expert, maybe the world-class expert, on word of mouth.
Jen, you gave a great example of this in the last episode with Tyler J. McCall. Definitely go back and listen to that one. You gave a great example about an Instagram post that you shared about some peaches you had bought and how many people responded to that and DM'd you about that, because ultimately, people still want recommendations from other people. It's why social media influencers, there's this whole economy built around famous people recommending things.
Yeah.
And it's all about five stars as well.
Hell
it could
yeah.
be it, people you don't even know. But if they give you a five star, it reinforces the fact that there's a value there.
So I thought this was this will be the last that I read, I promise. But okay. I thought this was really interesting. When planning a wedding, which I just did, word of mouth from friends is 331% more likely to be relied upon than advertising.
So before you buy those flowers, talk
well,
to someone that just
Well, it's really true. I mean, our photographer, Julia Fay, came from Meg.
Yeah.
Our caterer came from Pam and Scott.
Yep.
So like really-
Our whole house came from Pam and Scott.
It's really true. But, you know, talking about word of mouth, this guy named Frank, we don't know him, wrote in, and I just wanted to read what he said because I thought this was a really, really nice message and maybe we'll help share some word of mouth reviews on our show. He said, Jeffrey, I just wanted to say thank you. Oh, and he sent this to your Facebook account, which I read. So
just so you know.
Yeah. He said it's to your page, not your personal one. I don't read that one. So he said, Jeffrey, I just wanted to say thank you. I met you a couple years back, bought the books and shelved them, not knowing truly the amazing content that was inside. Then, after my life went to crap, and is still currently there, I decided to start reading again. My moment came when I started crying because what you wrote was true. I've truly not had a positive or yes attitude my entire life. It's amazing. I've read the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude 5 times, going on my 6th. Both my fiance and myself have started reading together and discussing, so I wanted to say thank you for being an inspiration to others as well as myself. And so that book, I think, has really caught on through word of mouth. It's an amazing example, because when you get a yes attitude and people start noticing the difference in how you're acting and behaving and your outcomes, they want to know what's changed. And the thing people do is they pull out the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude and share it or show it to a friend.
It's good to know that when people hit rock bottom, they think of Jeffrey Gittimer.
They
fall on the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude. But let me tell you something. You say whatever you want about that book. It sold more than 300,000 copies. It's in its 11th printing. And it's
you recently released a new edition.
Right.
We'll link to it in the show notes for sure.
All right. On to the great Jay Baer. Jay is a 24-year digital expert, even though he's only 26 years old. He started when he was 2. A global keynote speaker and MC, a New York Times best-selling author, a trusted advisor to dozens of brands, an active investor in tech startups, and a member of the Word of Mouth Marketing Hall of Fame. Diehards, please welcome the great Jay Baer. Our amazing guest this week is the unbelievable Jay Baer, founder of convinceandconvert.com. Jay is a 24-year digital expert, which means he was involved in digital when it was just one digit. A global keynote speaker and MC, a New York Times best-selling author, a trusted advisor to dozens of brands, an active investor in tech startups, and a member of the Word of Mouth Marketing Hall of Fame. Oh my gosh. Please welcome the great Jay Baer. It's his second time on the show. The last time he stopped by to Digital Trends in Marketing. This week he's here to talk about word of mouth and how to get people talking about your brand. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you, my friend. Great to be back. I appreciate the time. Hello, everybody out there. Love the show.
We are glad you're here.
We just passed 1.5 million downloads on this show.
That's incredible.
We're pretty serious about this thing.
We're rocking.
You are rocking.
So are you. You're like one of the hot properties in this country right now. People mention Jay Baer all the time. They feed you hamburgers wherever you go. I mean,
can't buy a drink in this country. No, it's great. We're having a terrific time. I've said this before. This probably offend your sensibilities, Jeffrey, but I would do this job for free. I'm glad I don't have to, but I would.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't disagree with you there. I love what I do, and I love to speak to audiences. I love to write books and other things of note. I'm going to be writing some major things this coming month about
great
having the best sales course ever created in the history of mankind. And because the world kind of needs it. There's so much bullshit out there right now that I can't.
More than ever.
Yeah.
It's too easy to make stuff now, right? It used to be that the long and complicated and expensive process of making something was a degree of filtering mechanism on quality.
Yeah.
And now that anybody can make anything with almost no money and no time, the average quality of the average book, podcast, speaker, whatever, has gone down accordingly. And so the good news is a lot of people are making stuff. The bad news is a little bit of a buyer beware situation.
Well, the good news is we have you here to talk about, if you are making stuff, how to get it become
that's
known.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Let's talk about your book, your latest book called Talk Triggers, The Complete Guide to Creating Customers with Word of Mouth. What's a talk trigger?
Let me set it up this way. The best way to grow any business, period, is for your customers to grow it for you.
No argument.
One of my favorite quotes in business is from Robert Stevens, a founder of Geek Squad. And he once said that advertising is a tax paid by the unremarkable. And there's a lot of truth to that. Now, there's a time and a place for advertising, but if you can get your customers to tell your story for you, they will do the job that you typically have to rely on advertising to do. Here's the problem, though, guys. Word of mouth influences 50% of all purchases. And in B2B, it's 91% of all purchases.
Wow.
Yet, fewer than 1% of businesses have an actual word of mouth strategy, which is weird, right? Because you have a sales strategy, you've got a marketing strategy, maybe a social media strategy, PR strategy, crisis strategy, recruiting strategy, whatever. But the one strategy you don't have is the one thing that actually is more powerful than all of those things, which is a word of mouth strategy. We just take it for granted, right? We just assume that, you know, that customers will naturally talk about us, but that's not the way the world actually works. See, I don't know all of your audience. I'm sure I know some of the folks out there, but I know this to be true for a fact. Nobody ever says, "Hey, let me tell you about this perfectly adequate experience I just had."
That is correct,
that's
sir.
That's right.
That's a shitty story, right? It's not a good story to listen to. It's not a good story to tell, right? So what we're trying to do with a talk trigger is come up with a customer experience element designed to be noticed and create conversation. See, the big mistake that we make in business is we assume that competency creates conversation, that if you just run a good business, people will tell stories about that, but we don't. Like, I've had a bunch of accountants in my life, and I've never said to somebody, "Hey, and guess what? Guess what? All the numbers added up."
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? That's a competency claim. Competency is important to keep your customers, but it generates no story. So a talk trigger is simply this. It is a strategic operational differentiator designed to create conversations. And any business can do it, and every business should do it.
I want to go back to accountants for one second. I had an accountant one time that couldn't balance my book. And he actually
paperclipped a dollar to one side of the...
Oh, my God, no.
Said that we're even, said that's close enough, yeah.
Exactly.
But how many people did you tell that to?
Everybody.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe that's... They're actually, I don't have... It's not in the book talk triggers because I learned about this case study afterwards, but there's a small accounting firm in Indianapolis, not far from where I live, called Bogdanoff and Dodges, and they actually have a talk trigger. It works like this. It's a very small accounting firm, two guys and an associate and a receptionist kind of front office staff. But their talk trigger is that they respond to every client, phone and email, every time within 5 minutes.
Whoa.
Guaranteed 5 minute response time. Now, if I had an accountant that got back to me within 5 minutes every time, would I tell that story to my friends?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Right? If you had a lawyer, if they come back within 5 months,
right.
That's like our dentist. We don't even sit down in the chair in the waiting room because you know he's going to take you back. The second you sit down, he takes you back.
On time, right? They respect your time. And so, look, we say word of mouth marketing a lot, right? You're familiar with that phrase, of course.
Yeah.
But a talk trigger isn't really marketing, okay? Not in the classic sense. It's not a product or a promotion or a price or a contest or a coupon or a campaign. It's a customer experience element. It is an operational choice that you make in your business. Mm-hmm. The accountants, Bogdanoff and Dodges, decided, they made a choice to respond to everybody really quickly, right? DoubleTree Hotels is one of the famous stories that we have in the book, right? They give every guest, every time you check in, they give you a warm chocolate chip cookie, right? They've been doing this every time, every day for 30 years. That is a choice, right? They built a bunch of ovens, they got a bunch of cookies, they give everybody a cookie. That's their talk trigger, and it absolutely works.
Totally. Okay, so as a diehard, and our diehards are mainly salespeople and sales leaders or entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. how do I know if my company even has a talk trigger?
Well, they probably don't, because if they had one, you'd know about it.
Exactly. Right?
So how do I create it?
Endemic about that idea. So what you want to do is first understand that not every differentiator can be a talk trigger. Okay. We in the book, we talk about the four R's, the four requirements for a talk trigger. I'll go through it real quickly. First is it has to be remarkable. Okay. That's non-negotiable. And what I mean by that is in the words of Seth Godin, it has to be worthy of remark. It is a story worth telling. If everybody has seen it before, it becomes perfunctory and mundane. It no longer has any storytelling power. So it has to be remarkable. Second thing, it has to be repeatable. And what I mean by that is we are addicted right now in business to this notion of surprise and delight, where you take one customer in one circumstance and you do something really special for them. Some sucker checks into a hotel room and there's like a live panda bear on the bed and there's a eucalyptus tree for it to eat or whatever. And this hotel hopes that this guy is going to share it on Facebook and then it's going to go on Reddit. And then, you know, the MSNBC is going to call him or some BS like that. Like, look, that could work. Or you may just have like a panda rental invoice. But either way, that's not a strategy, right? That's a lottery ticket. And I don't do that. I'm a strategist, right? So a talk trigger is available to every customer. That's why it's repeatable. And it delivers conversations every day, week, month, quarter, year. This is not going viral. This is not a stunt. I'm not in the stunt business. I'm in the strategy business, okay? So has to be remarkable, has to be repeatable. Third thing, has to be reasonable. Right? Especially in business, and sales does this a lot, we try to shock and awe customers and say, hey, here's how we're going to get them to notice us. We're going to do something really big. We're going to have a contest, right? And somebody's going to win a Caribbean island or some BS like that, right? And when you give customers experiences that are too grand, it actually doesn't create conversation. It backfires. It creates suspicion. And the conversation doesn't launch. So you don't want it to be too big. Right? I talked about DoubleTree. Right, they give out, this is true, 75,000 cookies a day, guys.
Whoa.
We did a huge research project on this for the book, right? I spent a ridiculous amount of money talking to people who have stayed at a DoubleTree. 34% of them have told a story about that cookie, which means today, as we're recording the show, 22,500 stories will be told about DoubleTree cookies today. And another 22,500 tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Companion question, when's the last time you saw a DoubleTree ad?
Yeah, you don't. But wouldn't you think somebody else would give out a fucking cookie?
You would think, right? But I think it's so endemic to their brand now that it's almost too hard to go. It would be so obvious that somebody was trying to steal it that I think they have such a moat around it. Yeah. It does happen. We can talk about that later.
Yeah, but if they...
circumstances where it gets stolen.
If they did, people would tell their friend, oh, they're just like Doubletree.
Right. That's it. Yeah. So you get credit anyway, right?
That's true. Exactly. That's
the
true.
The fourth R. So let's recap. We've got remarkable. We have repeatable. We have reasonable. And the fourth one is relevant. Okay. The best talk triggers are in context with who you are and what you're about. It's not just randomness, right? It's not like, hey, you know what we should do, guys? We should rent an elephant. So, well, are you a circus? No. Well, that doesn't make any friggin' sense, right?
Do you have a shovel?
Right, exactly. It has to make sense. So there's a locksmith in New York City. His name is Jay Sofer. He's the highest rated locksmith in New York on Yelp. He's actually one of the highest rated businesses in New York of any kind, which is a pretty high bar to clear mathematically, right?
Yep.
His talk trigger works like this. He comes to your apartment, he rekeys it or whatever he does. And then before he leaves, he does a full security audit of the premises, right? Checks every door, every window. Is like, you know what? This one can be jimmied. This lock's a little loose. This is a little dicey here. Does this full audit for nothing, totally for free. He's hugely popular in New York. That is his talk trigger. Makes sense, right? He's a locksmith that does security audits. Now let's think about the last two things I told you if they were somehow magically reversed in a parallel universe. Imagine Jay Sofer works on your locks. And then he says, Jeffrey, hey, before I go, would you like a warm chocolate chip cookie that I baked in my locksmith van?
Yeah, no. That's going to be enough.
You'd be like,
No, I'm not interested in that. And I'm also weirded out by this entire idea.
Exactly.
Or if you went to Doubletree and they said, hey, before you get to your room, would you like us to do a thorough security audit of your room? You would be like, no. And if that's required, I'm going to leave now. Right. So, yeah. So locksmith, security audit, hotel, cookie, it all kind of makes sense. Right?
But take it one step further, though. Suppose the locksmith said for $25, I'll give you a security audit.
Yeah. Then it's not talkable, right? Because you expect that. It's just a service.
I think
that's
though,
an upsell.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, that's
I see that coming, right? That's not a story I'm going to tell. I'm not going to tell a story about, and the guy tried to upsell me.
Right.
Yeah. But obviously he can sell a lot of stuff. Let me throw you what the first talk trigger that came to my mind. Okay. We just bought a Tesla.
Mm-hmm. I also have a Tesla.
They don't say, hey, come look at my internal combustion engine that's been here for the last 100 years.
Right.
That requires $2.69 a gallon gas. And I filled my tank up today. It was $41.
Oh my God.
Anyway. They back it out of a little parking space. Mm-hmm. That the first thing that happens is they make the car go by itself.
Yes, that's a pretty good hook.
Oh, yeah.
It's remarkable.
Yes.
Because you're not expecting it at all.
Nope. And you tell that story over and over and over.
Oh, yeah. You're going to tell the story to at least a half a dozen people that day.
Yes. We did.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, now, it's a good one. And, you know, What frustrates me about this premise, right, is that truly every business can do this. We have an online course. We just took a bunch of people through and a bunch of interesting ideas for cool businesses. Anyone can do it. Read the book. It tells you exactly how to do it. Anyone can do it, but people don't because they play follow the leader. They're like, okay, who seems to be good in my category? Let's do whatever they're doing, right? And it's still guys, same as lame. The more you try to fit in, paradoxically, the more your customers tune out. This idea of let's like do whatever the category leader does, who's the best salesperson in our industry, let's do what they do, that is a loser's mentality, right? You got to have the courage to create conversations.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
I did work for Lexus
Yep.
It's like they're like a car company that has a motor, but they're better than most car companies that have a motor.
Yes.
There was a kid there who worked there who were for 10 years was the number one salesperson in the company every month. How do you do that? He wakes up in the morning, he takes his car, he drives it to a customer's place, picks up their car, has it serviced, drops it back off at the end of the day, and goes home.
Yep.
He does that every day.
Yep.
And 50% of the people that came into the Lexus place goes, hey, is Richie there? I came to see Richie. All the other car salespeople are so angry at this guy, but they don't do shit.
Right, because he just made a choice. That's all it is. He made a choice. Anybody could do that.
But he created his own talk trigger. Lexus has a pretty decent talk trigger all by itself.
And that's, I think, a really important context for this show, right? Is that if you're a salesperson, yes, I think it would be useful if you told your operations team, your marketing team about the premise of talk triggers and why it's important for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, you need to have a talk trigger as a person.
Agreed.
The kid on my team, one of our top salespeople, and we use Zoom all the time, right? For all client calls and internal calls. There's a feature on Zoom that allows you to, it's like a virtual green screen, right? So I can put whatever I want behind my head. So every time he has a call with a prospect, he customizes it and puts their logos behind his head. Takes him 5 seconds, but he does it every single call and every single customer comments on it. I'll tell you what my talk trigger is, guys. You'll appreciate this. So I'm a keynote speaker and blah, blah, blah. But my thing on stage is I'm always the crazy plaid suit guy, okay? So I always have crazy plaid suits. That's the thing. I've been doing it forever. But that's not really a talk trigger, right? That's like a bullet point. You have to make it an experience. A talk trigger is always an experience. I got a chocolate chip cookie. I got a security audit. The kid from Lexus dropped off my car, right? It's an experience, not a bullet point. So what we do now is every time somebody books me to speak, they get a link to a special website we built called dressjbear.com. Go on that website and they get to pick out what suit I wear to match their corporate colors. And then it automatically drops on my calendar so I know what to pack. And they love it. Meeting planners talk about it all the time.
Oh
my God. Is it pictures of your suits?
Yeah, it's the actual suits. Yeah. I had my son's a fashion merchandising major. So I just had him take all the photos. He's got a photo kit at home. And so it's just all the suits.
That is freaking phenomenal. Okay, so
by the way to go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you make it sound so easy, but I know that we have diehards who are listening right now trying to come up with their talk trigger. So is there a strategy for figuring out,
yes,
like what's my talk trigger? How do I create one?
Good question. Absolutely. Jen. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. It's a 6-step process. We go through it in great detail in the book, so I won't go into all of it because it is pretty involved, but I'll give you sort of the snapshot. Here's the worst way to do it, which is the way everybody wants to do it, including all the diehards, which is, hey, let's have half a bottle of wine or more and brainstorm it, right? The problem is if it was that easy, you'd already have one.
Exactly.
So,
and you're probably drinking domestic wine anyway.
That's right. That's right. The other issue is that by definition, right, a talk trigger has to be resonant for customers. And we think we know what customers will talk about, but a lot of times we're not as good at understanding that as we think we are. So the best way to go about it is to actually interview customers. When we do this as a consulting firm, we work with big brands, and to come up with talk triggers, we typically do 18 interviews, right? Now, diehards may not want to go through that much work. You may want to do 6 or 9, whatever, that's fine, but we do 18. We interview 6 longtime customers, 6 new customers, and 6 lost or lapsed customers. And in each of those interviews, we walk through the entire customer journey, right? You came to the website, you got a proposal, we had a proposal review call, blah, 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 blah. You got an invoice. We walk through the whole customer journey. And in those conversations, the research works like this. We say, hey, at this stage of the process, when you got a proposal from us, what did you expect would happen? And then you just shut up and let them talk. So they might say, well, I expected that you would send me an email with a PDF attached. I'm like, great. Okay. So now you log that. What you're creating, guys, is a customer expectations map laid on top of a customer journey map. Why is that important? If you know what people expect, you know what they don't expect. And the talk trigger, the gold in the river, is always where they don't expect it. If they expect it, it's not talkable. So I'll give you an example. I was talking about this idea of a proposal. And that is what happens, you know, nowadays, right? Technology is easy. You create a proposal in Word, you save it as a PDF, you attach it, and you email it to the prospect, right? It's perfunctory, it's mundane, it's expected. What if instead, when you were going to send a proposal to a prospect, you actually use one of those services that can do custom icing on a cake, and you sent the prospect a sheet cake, and the frosting on the sheet cake was made to look like the cover of your proposal. The proposal itself is printed out hard copy and put in a laminated sleeve. The laminated sleeve is put underneath the cake such that your prospect has to eat an entire goddamn cake in order to get your proposal. Would they tell a story about that?
Yes.
Yes, they
yeah.
would.
Yeah.
You can have your cake and eat it too.
Is that possible? Is that possible? Completely possible. It would cost you $40 to $50 per proposal to do that, which, depending on what you're selling, is probably a small price to pay to be that talkable.
We even have the bakery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's so phenomenal.
It's just a choice.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
The choice is wow or unwow.
Yeah. And so my take is, why wouldn't you be wow? Jeffrey, you know this. My business card for 10 years has been a metal bottle opener.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you're going to have a business card, I might as well give you one you're not going to throw away.
Exactly.
And people come up to me all the time. They say, Jay, I got your card 8 years ago and it's been in my golf bag. Every time I play golf, I open a beer, I think of you. Like, well, then my work here is done.
Yeah.
I have similar stories with my coin, but
and
I mean, people that have, I just got two.
Oh, that was crazy.
I just got two photographs. One a video and one a photograph of someone that had saved my card for over a decade.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I know.
And most people they don't even have cards anymore. I'm like, what? People are like, I'm not going to have cards anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right, exactly. Hey, schmuck.
Here's an idea. Don't get rid of cards. Just get a good card.
There you go.
Well, you can get rid of cards. Get rid of your shitty one.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
But right? The marketing department wants to make sure your fax number's on there.
Right.
Like someone cares.
So true.
Okay, so you come up with this strategy. You use the strategy that's in the book, the 6-point strategy, because all of our diehards are obviously like,
they're going to buy the book. But don't worry, the link to the book will be the trigger.
Okay, we know that.
We'll be in the show notes.
So, for sure. It's called Talk Triggers, guys. So you come up with what your talk trigger is. Now, how do you know if it's enough?
Yeah,
how do you know if it's like the right thing?
Yep. 2 points on that. One, you should always test it. Okay, so we're big proponents of this, that you come up with, usually what we do is we come up with three ideas, right? Three ideas that are like, you know what? We think this will work based on the research. And if we had to actually live with this, right? We're going to make everybody a cake. Like we can operationalize it. We can afford it. Like we're not going to do it for 2 weeks and then bail on it. Like we can get married to this idea, all right? Three ideas that kind of fit that condition. We think it's going to work and we can live with it. Then you take one and you test it, right? So you give it to every nth customer or only customers in a particular division or only customers for a particular product or however you want to do your segmentation. And you test it. So you have a control group, right? How do you measure talkability? Two ways. First is observed talkability. So you look for any mentions of the talk trigger in social media, ratings and review sites, and then you train your sales team, your customer service team, and anybody else who interacts with customers to listen for mention of it. So if you're on the phone with a customer and say, hey, thanks a lot for dropping off my Lexus, you're like, aha, mention of talk trigger, check, right? And you collect all those mentions, right? So then you know whether people are talking about it. What you're looking for is a talkability threshold of about 20%. If 2 out of 10 customers are mentioning it, you know it's talkable enough, because more than that actually are, because some you're going to miss, okay? So that's observed. The other way to do it, and this is really important, because especially in B2B, they're not going to go on Twitter and talk about it. It's not how it works, right? In B2B, we rely a lot on measured or surveyed talkability. So after the customer has, or the prospect, has experienced the talk trigger, okay? You wait a certain amount of time, you know, 10 days, 30 days, it depends on the business, but some period of time. And then you send them a 3-question survey. Now you could tag this onto the end of a satisfaction survey or do it separate, but it's 3 questions, always like this. Question one, since you've been working with us, have you told anybody a story about working with us? Yes or no? Question two, if yes, what did you say? Open-ended text box, if you're looking for mention of the talk trigger. Question three, did you mention any of these things? And you give them a 7-item list. One of the items on that list is the talk trigger. And the other six are other things, like they were nice when they called or whatever, right? One of them's a talk trigger. So what you end up with then is percentage of people who told a story, unaided mention of the talk trigger, and then aided mention of the talk trigger, right? So then you actually know how many people are noticing it, are enough people noticing it to roll it out to everybody.
Why seven?
Just because it's a good, it could be five, but you just don't want to have so few that they're obviously going to notice it, right?
Got
so,
it.
Yeah.
Cool. I love that.
Word of mouth has been combined now with word of mouse.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're trying to create talk, I would imagine that if you give this great service or this great idea, whatever your thing is, cookie, that you're looking to be rated on TripAdvisor. The world revolves around the number 5 now.
Yep.
Are you 5 on Amazon? Are you 5 on TripAdvisor? Mm-hmm. Are you 5 on Yelp? What do you say to that? How does talk triggers interact with the 5?
Sure. I mean, you'll see it. It is a couple things. One, 50% of word of mouth is online, 50% is offline today. So it's half and half. If you have a business that gets reviews, and most do at some point, it may not be TripAdvisor, but it's somewhere.
Yeah.
Then generally speaking, the talk trigger will manifest in the reviews. So there's a case study in the book about an amusement park near my house called Holiday World. Family-owned water park and amusement park. They have a talk trigger, which is that when you go to the amusement park, everybody gets free sunscreen. Free sunscreen.
Great idea.
I love that.
Super great idea. Also reduces trips to the infirmary, right? So it kind of helps them both ways.
There's all kinds of things that it does, but that's a big one.
It's a good
one,
and
I'm sure it's branded, right?
You know, they used to do a deal with Coppertone, but now I think it's like North Korean surplus sunscreen or something. But
oh, cool. That's my favorite. SPF. It's SPF. Go figure it out.
But if you look at their TripAdvisor reviews, right? Number one, they are one of the highest rated amusement parks in the U.S. Higher than Disneyland, higher than Disney World, higher than Universal Studios, family owned, right? In Santa Claus, Indiana is where they're located. But if you look into their actual reviews, almost every single review mentions free sunscreen.
Yeah.
Right? It becomes the story that people tell. A talk trigger is just a story. And so you can choose to let people maybe come up with their own story and hope that they tell it, or you can make a choice to do something different every time and make sure that they tell the story that you have designed for them. To me, that's not really a question. It's just go figure it out. You just got to have the courage to put a little twist on it. And it doesn't have to be complicated, right? You can be this, like I did an event for tire pros last year, you know, all the guys who own tire shops. And there's a guy in Kansas, a small town in Kansas. I can't remember which one. It doesn't really matter. But he's the tire guy in that town. And also in that town, for reasons I don't fully understand, there is like an artisanal root beer guy who makes like, you know, small batch, hand-created, awesome root beer.
Yep.
Well, they're buddies, right? So the tire guy does this deal where every time you come get your car after you've had your tires replaced or rotated or balanced or whatever, patched, in the passenger seat is a 2-liter bottle of this locally made root beer. And he puts a little handwritten note on there. It says, hope you enjoy it, you know, whatever. So in that town, he is known as the root beer tire man. It doesn't even matter what the name of his business is. He is the root beer tire man. Root beer tire man spends $0 a year on advertising because he doesn't have to.
He could buy the domain rootbeertireman.com and he's winning.
Hold on a minute. Let's talk about Les Schwab Tires in Oregon.
Yeah.
Where they fix your tire for nothing if it's flat.
Yes. Such a good one. That's a good one.
Unbelievable trigger.
Oh, Jeffrey, I got to tell you this. I know you're going to love this one. I forgot to tell you. I was going to lead with this one and I spaced it because I know you in particular will like this one. Okay. This one's not in the book either because I didn't learn about it until afterwards. A guy comes, I'm doing a gig in Seattle. A guy comes up to me afterwards and says, Jay, I've got a talk trigger for you. And I'm like, great. And I just finished this podcast, the Talk Trigger Show, where every week I tell one of these stories. So it's been awesome to have this whole collection of tales. So there's a guy in Seattle who's a doctor. Fine. He's a surgeon. fine. He only does vasectomies. Now I'm interested.
Right.
His name is Dr. Snip. And I'm like, that's fantastic. But the guy says, oh, no, but that's not his talk trigger. And I'm like, oh, please tell me more. He says, at Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon, after you have a vasectomy, on the way out, you go to like the window, you know, the checkout window. He says you get three things. You get insurance paperwork, naturally. You get a page of post-operative care instructions, like frozen bag of peas or whatever. And then you get a small black box. And inside that small black box, at Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon, is an engraved silver pocket knife that says Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon.
No.
Now, you can imagine you're like hanging out with your buddies, you're drinking beers, watching football, playing golf, whatever, and somebody says, hey, that's a sweet knife. Where'd you get it? Where'd I get this knife? Dr. Snip, vasectomy surgeon. And Dr. Snip is the knifeless vasectomy surgeon. Doesn't use a knife, uses heat. There's no incisions at all.
Whoa.
So he gives you a knife to be able to tell you the story. Oh yeah, he doesn't even use a knife.
Totally.
I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So, okay, you've given us lots of great examples of talk triggers.
No, you've given us a ton of great examples.
Thank you.
You're fucking cool.
Yeah,
and
you are, Jay.
Yeah.
So, but some of them are after the sale. Like the person has purchased their passes to the park. They get the sunscreen once they're inside.
Yes.
Okay. And some of them are actually before the sale, like proposal.
That's right.
Under the cake. For a diehard, when is it most important?
Super perceptive question. And I've probably done 100 shows, and you're the first person to ask that question.
Woo!
And it is a brilliant question.
Thank you.
There is no right answer, because what you want to do is deliver the talk trigger in whatever way makes sense in your business that the customer doesn't expect. But I will tell you this. If I'm given a choice, I would rather do it earlier, because you're going to reach more people. Ergo, you have a higher number of people who can tell the story, right? So do you want to tell it to prospects or tell it to customers? I think all else being equal, and it's not equal, but if it all else was equal, I'd rather tell it to prospects, because I'm telling it to more people who could then tell it to more people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
But I agree with that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
The quality of the idea and its sort of talkability is what we say in my company. The talkability is the most important. But the sequencing is also important, because you have to say, look, if it's only for customers, depends on your business, right? And how many customers you have. But if it's only for customers, you are purposely shrinking the number of people who have been exposed to the story.
Right.
When you see that talk trigger, though, you can't help but tell someone else.
Oh, yeah.
My 10-year-old daughter and I were in Connecticut at that casino place that's horrible, right by Rhode Island, at Foxwoods or something like that.
Yeah, Foxwoods.
Yep.
We ate at the steakhouse, and the steak was great. And the guy comes by and says, you know, what do you want for dessert? My daughter and I looked at each other, and we said, now we're past dessert. And the guy brings us a plate of cotton candy upside down with the stick.
Oh, nice.
No, you don't understand. I bought a fucking machine when I came home.
No way.
Yeah, he did. True story.
It was so remarkable. And I'm looking around the restaurant. There's like 10 plates of cotton candy. It can't cost them a nickel. It cannot cost them a nickel.
It's also really smart, because in this era, it's so Instagrammable.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's a really wise idea. I've got a good, I don't know if you've ever seen that. I got a good steakhouse example too. There's a place, it's called La Boucherie. It's a newer steakhouse, French steakhouse in Los Angeles, at the top of the new Standard Hotel. And, you know, it's really beautiful, like 360 views of the whole LA area. And, you know, they got good steaks. But
above or below the smog.
it's right at the smog line. And there's a lot of good steakhouses in LA, right?
Yep.
You know, and theirs is really good. But, you know, again, are you going to tell a story about it? Probably not. But here's their talk trigger. You order the steak, and then they come over and they open up like this leather, like portfolio case. and they handed out, it's a steak knife menu. They got 14 different kinds of steak knives.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, which steak knife would you like? You know, want the big Australian one? You want the tiny French one? You want all these different kinds, the weird Japanese ceramic one? And you get to pick your knife. That's a good talk trigger.
I love that. And that, too, is so Instagrammable.
Wait a minute. Do they sell it to you at the end?
You know, they don't, but they really should. Right? Schmucks. They should have knives.
They're schmucks.
Yeah, they really should.
Okay, so before you go, and I know a lot of people are listening, not watching, but if you are watching, you can see this great stuffed animal llama that you sent us.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the significance?
Okay. A, it is not a llama. It is an alpaca.
Aha.
Aha. I had a sweater by that name.
Exactly. For those of you who are listening, the cover of my book, which I should say was written with my dear friend Daniel Lemon, who was a massive contributor to this project, so it's not all me by any stretch of the imagination. The cover of the book features two alpacas who are whispering to one another. They're engaging in alpaca word of mouth. Why does my business book have alpacas on the cover?
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody else's does.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's a talk trigger, right? It's like when you see that book in the airport, you're like, wow, that's weird. It's hot pink and there's alpacas on it. I don't understand what's going on here. So we have many, many stuffed alpacas that we give out to special, special friends. And it turns out that more people do think it's a llama. So we had to go to the trouble of creating a very detailed, it's also quite awesome, infographic, which is called, what are the differences between a llama and an alpaca?
Yeah.
And if you go to talktriggers.com, you can find that infographic and you can amaze your friends with llama and alpaca facts. Also,
I'm sure there's tons of them.
There's tons of stuff on the website too. So I'd love for you to read the book or listen to it. It's read by me and Daniel. But on the website, there's a bunch of free stuff. There's research, there's videos, there's infographic, as I mentioned, there's PowerPoint presentations that you can download to convince your boss, all kinds of stuff. It's all for free.
And this is amazing. Okay. So first of all, you have to get this book. On the back of it, there is a satisfaction guarantee.
You found the other talk trigger. You're so good.
That says, may I read it? Is that okay?
Please.
All right. It says, if you bought this book and didn't like it, go to talktriggers.com and send the authors a note. They will buy you any other book of your liking.
That's right. That's the actual talk trigger. So yeah, it's got weird cover, but that's the talk trigger is if you don't like it, we will buy you any other book. And it's 100% true. We've sold a lot of books and we've had two people take us up on that so far.
Seriously? What assholes?
Whatever. Doesn't like it. So a guy emails me and says, Jay, I didn't like the book. And I said, okay. I said, what book would you like?
Gutenberg Bible.
A $200 out of print book on like COBOL programming. And I'm like thinking to myself, that's a little cheeky, but hey, I made the offer. I'll stand behind it. So I buy him the book. I send him a note. It says, hey, we sent you the book. Just out of curiosity, what didn't you like about Talk Triggers? Here's what he says. Too many case studies. And I thought, yeah, that's typically a problem in these business books. That preponderance of evidence is a real problem for a lot of people. So then like 3 weeks goes by and I get another email from a different reader. It says, Jay, I just didn't like the book. I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. What book would you like? And he wants a copy of Mark Schaefer's new book, which is called Marketing Rebellion. Terrific book. He's a good friend. I'm like, hey, I'd be delighted to send you a copy of Mark's book. Good choice and reasonably priced. So I send him the book. Same thing. I send him an email afterwards. Your book is on the way. Just out of curiosity, what didn't you like about Talk Triggers? And he says, not enough case studies. So I said, hey, you should meet this other guy. You guys would get along great.
So as Jay Bear was talking, I'm thinking to myself, what talk triggers have I either heard or helped create? Go to Indianapolis, Indiana, which was where Jay Bear is 35 miles from, where I was 35 miles from. I would go to this place called St. Elmo's Steakhouse. And you'd think, oh, it's for a great steak. And no, it isn't. It's for a shrimp cocktail. They have this guy in the window making the shrimp cocktail, making the sauce. And every single person who comes in there buys the shrimp cocktail. They're known for the shrimp cocktail. You take a cab or an Uber to St. Elmo's and the driver will say, don't forget to get the shrimp cocktail.
Is it like the biggest shrimp cocktail you've ever had?
It's the best shrimp cocktail. The sauce is hot. The waiter will come over and say, okay, before I bring out the shrimp cocktails, let me explain what's happening here. It's a steakhouse, no chicken.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just known all over the city. And for anybody who has ever been to St. Elmo's Steakhouse, they're always going to use the word shrimp cocktail someplace. It is the ultimate of talk triggers because even though you have to pay for it, even though there's money involved in the transaction, St. Elmo's has made millions and millions of dollars over the years selling shrimp cocktail.
Well, wait a minute. I think that Jay would argue it's not technically, by technical terms, a talk trigger because you do indeed have to pay for it. It's not like they're giving you the shrimp cocktail.
Right, but you want it.
Yes, and it has created talk.
Yep.
And so it is a...
And it triggered their cash register. It triggered their cash register to ring.
But I think that, you know, that one maybe is a... you win
trigger.
On a technicality.
A money trigger.
You win on a technicality,
because
Jeffrey. It's a good talk trigger. It's just not one in Jay's actual definition of requiring a purchase, because what could trigger someone to go there with, you know, without the purchase?
You meet all kinds of cool people there. All the famous people go to St. Elmo's when they come to town. So it's likely that you'll see some celebs in St. Elmo's when you go there.
Diehards, this week, I really want you to pay attention to the brands that you're dealing with, the places that you're shopping, the people that you're interacting with, and figure out if they have a talk trigger. Because someone you come across this week will likely have one, and it may help you think of your own. So start paying more attention to that this week.
So Gabrielle was bragging about the fact that Target reorged their store, and she knows her way around the whole place now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. When Jay was promoting his book, he sent us the book and a little llama that was on the cover.
But wait, it's not a llama. Didn't he say it's not a llama?
An alpaca or something.
Yeah,
it's an alpaca.
Yeah.
It's an alpaca. Slightly different.
Yeah.
I think.
But look at the back of his book and the things that he wrote on it. Like, those are talk triggers because you can read them without even buying the book.
You know how you have to find an alpaca from a lot? You have to determine, you lift them up and you look at their balls and see.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well,
I don't think anyone knew that until you
that's
a
new talk
very
trigger.
Relevant information.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows that. It's like a goldfish. How do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
You don't?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You have to turn them over.
What?
I have no idea.
Under which side?
I'm telling you, I don't know. If it's silver on the bottom, I don't know.
All right, until next time.
Wait,
I'm Jen Gluckia. What?
Jay Bear was amazing. Please go buy his book. All right, now you can say goodbye.
You know, I think they already want to buy his book because it's freaking amazing.
Oh, yeah. He's a great writer, too, just by the way.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
And turn it over as well, the back cover.
Yeah, turn it over, exactly, to discover whether it's an alpaca or a llama.
If you don't like the book, you can just send him an email and he'll send you any book of your choosing.
Oh.
Very simple, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll link to that in the show notes for sure. But we do got to go now. And create our own talk triggers.
Bingo.
So until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. And please tell somebody that I told you to go out there and make a sale, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard. And we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.